That we were talking about was faith versus feeling or emotions. Faith versus feeling or emotions. And I began to open up and show you that our faith, our belief in God's word, his promises, has nothing to do with how we feel. And I began to show you last week how feelings, emotions, they change like the weather, like the wind. And we in Britain should know that, surely. And that is what our emotions are like. And yet we are also emotional creatures. And God has placed emotions in us. And so we need to learn and be taught by the Spirit how to bring these things under control. And that is, of course, why we have the fruit of the Spirit being developed in our lives, and where we also, as disciples, just like Jesus did, we too are to also take up our cross daily and follow Christ, which is that working by the Spirit, that death to the self-life. It is the self-life, it is that independent self-life where the devil so often works with the emotions. It is what I want. And so because I want that, and I'm going to have it, I will work on the emotions in whatever way the emotions will get its way. And we don't have to be taught how to do it. We do it automatically. It is right there at birth. Children know how to work even on emotions. So it's there, it's inbuilt in us. But sadly, we live in a fallen world, and we are fallen, but we are changed spiritually now, made anew in the likeness of Christ, yet in the flesh, we are still living in a fallen world until Jesus comes to take us out of it. So we need to be taught by the Spirit how we walk by faith, trusting in God's promises, and yet where the emotions are, we need to learn and discern what our emotions trying to tell us that it's faith and what really is of faith. And it takes years. You don't get it overnight. The Bible is full from cover to cover where believers, saints, were being taught by Almighty God to walk by faith and not by emotions. And at times you see the emotions that take the upper hand where they fall out of the will of God, or they think that the emotions is God's will and so on, and indeed it's not. And it's the same working and training with us. And we based this, didn't we, last week on Genesis chapter 3 the fall of Adam Eve, and Satan knew exactly where to attack. He attacked in the emotions, in the sense realm, because he knew that is where he would get man to fall. He couldn't get man to fall in his trust and likeness in the likeness of God, but he would get man to fall in questioning God's promises, God's character, God's love, God's provision. That is where he knew he could try and get man to fall, because that is on the emotional side of man. And of course, we know the story, and we read it last week in Genesis chapter 3, verses 1 to 14, where he raises this question. And I just want to read this again very quickly in passing, because this is what we're basing this teaching on. In Genesis 3 verse 1 onwards, "Now the serpent was more cunning than any beast of the field which the Lord God made. And he said to the woman, 'Has God indeed said to you, you shall not eat of every tree of the garden?' And the woman said to the serpent, 'We may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden. But of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, you shall not eat it, nor shall you touch it, lest you die.'" So there we see man put on probation. He's put on trust. God has put him there to see if he's going to trust and obey God. "Then the serpent said to the woman, 'You shall not surely die.'" Now he's raised a question here, because up until this point, the idea of death, dying, was not in their vocabulary or thinking. So he's raised a question. He's appealing to the mind, to the intellect. He's going to the intellect, to the sense realm. So he raises this question. "Then the serpent said to the woman, 'You will not surely die, for God knows that in the day you eat of it, your eyes will be open, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil.'" So he has planted a suggestion and a thought into her mind that you will be like God, you'll be equal. So God is hiding something from you. He doesn't want you to be like God. Ooh. Here's the lie coming out. "So when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree desirable to make one wise, she took of its fruit and ate." So there she's now being led by emotions, sense realm. It looks good. It's good to eat. "And she also gave to her husband with her, and he ate. Then the eyes of both of them were opened." There's nothing wrong about the woman giving to the husband food. That is actually her role as a wife. So there's nothing wrong with that. "Then the eyes of both of them were opened, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed leaves together and made themselves coverings. And they heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden of the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God among the trees of the garden. And the Lord God called to Adam and said to him, 'Where are you?' And he said, 'I heard your voice in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked and hid myself.' And he said, 'Who told you that you were naked? Have you eaten from the tree of which I commanded you that you should not eat?' Then the man said, 'The woman whom you gave to me with me, she gave me of the tree, and I ate.' And the Lord God said to the woman, 'What is this you have done?' And the woman said, 'The serpent deceived me, and I ate.' And then the Lord pronounces curse, judgment upon the world." You know the rest. We know there that Adam had a chance to put the record straight. But he chose, in his sin, in his weakness, in his emotion now, to blame the woman. And likewise, the woman now, in her sin, her unbelief, her emotions, then blames the serpent. And that's how it goes, and it is still with us today. Everyone is blaming everyone else. And so, therefore, redemption, to save, to restore Adam in that rightful relationship with God, was not there, because his pride, his unbelief, his fear now hiding from God, chose to excuse. And you know the rest of the story. That is how Satan attacks, and his devices and the way that he works today are no different. And that is why he will attack us always in the area of faith. He hates our faith, because it's by faith that we please God. And therefore, his attack is always going to be with regard to our faith and our belief in the promises of God's word. And the way he attacks is the same principle of how he attacked there in the Garden of Eden. He will raise questions. He will raise doubts, and questions and doubts and unbelief always will plummet you into the sense realm and into the realm of feeling and emotion. And once man falls into that, emotions, feelings will always have the upper hand to faith, believing. Well, God makes no mistake when he calls us from the foundation of the world. And only God can work with us to change us and to work with us so that we can be men and women, his church, his bride, who's making herself ready in the last days to come back to walk supernaturally by faith and not by sight. Only the Spirit can achieve that. And I want to take it up further today. All of what I spoke on is on the internet. Last week's message, so it's there if you want to catch up on that. But I need to take it a step further today. And we're dealing with faith versus feeling and emotions. And it takes Christians a long time to not mix feelings with faith. It is not something you get straight away. When you come to Christ and you begin to read the Word of God and embrace all his promises and learn about the Word of God, what you're going to do is nobody's business. You're going to convert the world, turn it upside down. And all of that is based on emotions, feelings. Israel couldn't enter the promised land because she refused to change from her emotions and feelings with regard to God and what God was doing. And therefore she was unable to mix faith with that which she heard. Because Satan knows if he keeps you bound in the emotions and feelings, that will not let you mix faith with that which you hear. Because your emotions, your feelings, are going to get in the way of the Word of God. One of the emotions that can so easily come about is, well, how can a loving God allow this? And that's what you will hear the world say today. And that expression of emotion will come out in diverse ways. It may come out in a way of sadness. It may come out in a way of hate or resentment or anger toward God. You speak to me about a loving God. Well, if you talk of a loving God, then why is the world going through what it's going through? Why is my daughter suffering like she is? You have heard it, haven't you? What are you hearing? What is being expressed? Emotions. And it is emotions that always get in the way with faith and believing the Word of God. So how does the Spirit work through this? How can he work through our emotions getting us to a place where we believe and embrace the promises of God. Why we can still read the Word of God, and we can still find at times our emotions, we still can find that anger trying to rise up, that tries to get in the way of receiving, believing the Word of God. One could equally say, why was God so harsh on such a small test that plummeted the world in unbelief and in sin? Doesn't make sense. There they are, the emotions run high again. The Word of God is emotional when you read it. It can really offend. And indeed, in Jesus' ministry, many became emotional and offended and no longer walked with the Lord. Why, even the 70 disciples had enough of it. They were offended by God's word. So faith could not be released that pleases God. Israel didn't enter the promised land because of this. Let's turn to Hebrews chapter 4, verses 1 to 3. Hebrews chapter 4, verses 1 to 3. And here it's in the context of the promise of rest, which we have now, or should have, by faith that we enter into. And he says here, therefore, since a promise remains of entering his rest, let us fear lest any of you seem to have come short of it. For indeed the gospel was preached to us as well as to them. But the word which they heard did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in those who heard it. For we who have believed do enter that rest. As he has said, so I swore in my wrath, they shall not enter my rest. Although the works were finished from the foundation of the world, for he has spoken in a certain place of the seventh day in this way, and God rested on the seventh day from all his works. Now, I don't want to speak so much here about this rest, because this is the rest that we should have by faith. We should have a rest in God's promises, and not a striving, not a torment, not a wavering to and fro that James speaks about, but that because we believe in the promises of God, therefore those promises, our faith, should anchor us in a rest. Now, you will know those who are not really experiencing this rest, because it will be expressed in emotions, in strife, in unbelief, and in confusion. And that is not what our faith is about, as is clearly put here. Now, bearing this in mind, let's also look at 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 1 to 6. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 1 to 6. And here it says here, moreover, brethren, I do not want you to be unaware that all our fathers were under the cloud, all passed through the sea, all were baptized into Moses and in the cloud and in the sea. So, in other words, our initial salvation, our believing in Almighty God, is all the same principle and working. It's all under the same cloud. The law that was given through Moses, which was a form of tutoring, teaching them to bring them to faith, Christ fulfilling the demands of that law, but we're still, as believers, under that same cloud. It is the same principle of believing. We're now under a new covenant, better promises, and so on. And it goes on, and all ate the same spiritual food and drink the same spiritual drink, for they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ. So we still drink, we still partake, we still take it in. It is the same principle. But with most of them, God was not well pleased, for their bodies were scattered in the wilderness. Why was he not well pleased? Why did they perish in the wilderness? Because we read it back in Hebrews 4. They did not mix faith with that which they heard. And there is a reason why they didn't mix faith with that which they heard. Because that is what we're addressing. Faith versus feelings, emotions. Now these things become our examples to the intent that we should not lust after evil things as they also lusted. Now, lusting after evil things, lusting is what? Emotions. I want. And so emotions will work in any way or form in which to get what it wants. Emotions is all part of me getting control and so forth. Demons work on emotions. And emotions can have different ways of expressing. And if doors are still open in lives where the mind is not conformed to God's image and working. And remember, it says in Corinthians that God is working on the minds of believers. The deliverance, your battle is in the mind. Therefore, the mind is still subject to those emotions. And those emotions will always get in the way to faith and believing and standing upon the promises of God's word. And so they become our example to the intent that we should not lust after evil things as they also lusted, and do not become idolatrous as were some of them. As is written, the people sat down to eat and drank and rose and play, and so it goes on. Idols in our life are fed by our lust, our emotions. Idols play to emotions, and emotions play to idols. And therefore, they will always hinder one's believing, one's faith. So we're beginning to see what God is actually doing with us in delivering the body of Christ as the bride makes herself ready. He is ridding us of idols. Or lusting after those idols. You see, you might not have that idol, literally beholding it or having it, but you may still be lusting after it. And of course, Israel was. Israel, after 40 years in the wilderness, was still lusting for the things that she still had in Egypt.
Thank you.
How do we know? Because the trials expose their confession. Your trials, my trials, expose what is still in our hearts. And that is why God allows us to go through these trials to reveal and show us where these idols are and where our emotions are still affected, that still hinders our faith in believing the promises of God's word. And this is why, brothers and sisters, it hasn't always worked. And yet some have turned around and say, well, look, we told you this deeper life doesn't work. It does work. The problem is that the deeper life is trying to get rid of idols in your life. And Christians have not been honest and truthful about it. They don't want to acknowledge it. But that is ultimately what it is. And so this lusting is based on emotions and feelings. And the last days are going to be absolutely characterized by man's immersion in emotions. He's immersed in these emotions. He's controlled. He's held by emotions. And not only that, he wants more and more and more of them. That is creating depression, dependence on drugs, alcohol, sex, music, rock, you name it, the lot. Emotions create addictions. And the devil knows it. And politics, government, health are all trying to address these issues, are trying to throw money at it to try and help and everything. It's like trying to bail the ocean out with a teaspoon. You never do it. Because you have to get to man's heart. Man's heart has to be changed. Timothy speaks of this. We know it so well in the scriptures. In 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 1. 2 Timothy chapter 3 verse 1. But know this, that in the last days perilous times will come, for men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, unloving, unforgiving, slanderers, without self-control, brutal, despisers of good, traitors, headstrong, haughty, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, denying the power thereof, and that such people turn away. Well, if that isn't speaking about emotions, I don't know what is. And all of that that's catalogued there is completely opposite to faith. And so because of these plagues, these problems, and it's idols that promote, that feed all of this, little wonder we have so much unbelief in the house of God that could sink a battleship. That it really could. And to try and get them to start believing in the promises of God, believing that God today will provide, he will keep you whole in mind, body and spirit, is alien. Why can't they embrace this? Why do they fight against it and yet call themselves Christians, having this form of godliness but denying its power? From such turn away. Because they want still their faith on the emotional level. And it will never work. It's completely opposite, opposed to it. And that's why we're still being delivered. We're still being set free from this. And because they don't want to walk by faith, because they still want the emotions, the feelings, he says, these sort creep into households and make captives of gullible women, loaded down with sins, led away various lusts. And there they are, these gullible people go to these churches, these mega churches, some of them supposedly charismatic, they're gullible and they're led by the emotions. Toronto Blessing, or so-called Blessing, was based on emotions. And the devil used it. And they queue up for it. And this is why you've got such soulish worship today. I've got to feel the Spirit. I've got to feel the anointing. Did you feel the anointing today? It was like electric. And so they're all charged up, emotional, because it's played on the emotions. This is what they do in entertainment. This is why people go to the theatre, the cinema, or you name it. You go to be entertained. What does entertainment do? It appeals to the emotions. It lifts your emotions up. Devil's playing to it over time in these last days. And so they carry that all over, that worldliness, Try to make it spiritual and bring it into the house of God. That is why, brothers and sisters, our meeting, as simple as it looks, but God has a purpose for it. He isn't going to allow these big loud guitars in, and amplification, and this beat of today. He's not going to let us have it. This is the mercy and grace of God, because he's not going to let our worship be based on emotions. We heard it this morning through prophecy. God knows how to glorify his name. And he puts his spirit within us, and he said, out of your innermost being flows those rivers of living water. And they are pure, they are holy and undefiled. It is only clean hands and pure lips that can worship and glorify and lift the name of Jesus. We have such worldliness today in Christendom, it's almost frightening. It's immersed. Why? Because man's emotions are stirred by it, and therefore we cannot come by faith, which glorifies the Lord. Instead, he comes in all that unbelief. Little wonder Christendom is in such confusion, such turmoil, you see. And it doesn't mean to say that we cannot have musical instruments. It doesn't mean to say that you cannot have people who are anointed on an instrument to help with the worship and praise. That's not what I'm talking about. But whoever God raises up who's skillful on a musical instrument will know that they are not there to play to the emotions of people. There's the fundamental difference, you see. Someone comes to mind who had problems with this was Saul. And toward Saul's apostasy and falling away and becoming more and more demonically oppressed, he wanted music to try and help to raise his spirits. Because we know King David played the harp. You know the rest of the story. But that didn't suffice, did it? Because he threw a javelin at him. Try to destroy him. What was happening to Saul? He was up and down in emotions, no longer walking by faith, looking to God anymore. And that's what happens. And so you see, the world has become sensual. And you've got sensual, sort of so-called, quote-unquote, worldly Christians who are in unbelief. We can say that because as a remnant, God is going to bring out of quote unquote worldly Christians. Paul wrote to Corinth addressing their worldliness and saying, you go on in this way and you'll lose the lot. So it was a warning, that letter. And so there are some who will hear, who will come away from it. And there is a remnant coming away now. There is an exodus taking place. I'm hearing more and more in the spirit, let my people go. That they will come out and offer true worship. This is why the world has become so controlling now. It's become so controlling over the world. The powers of darkness, because it's trying to hold God's people. Hang on a minute, we've lost sound again. Having trouble today. Somebody doesn't want this heard. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Mighty God. I'm just going to go out and come back in again. It's not functioning very well today. There seems to be a slowness in the connection. 1605. All right, let's try it again. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Praise Jesus, mighty God. And so we're seeing today a control coming over the world. And of course, finally, when the Antichrist appears, the Antichrist is a being of control. He's going to control the world. What is he doing? What is the Antichrist system doing? It controls the world in its emotions and unbelief and blindness. That is how he's coming. And so all this hype, all this emotion, he's going to come convincing the world that he's Messiah. Can you see the subtlety of how he's doing it? But there would be no faith to believe in the promises of God's word. And that is why he blinds so many people, their eyes, heart, from the promises of God's word. Because the promises of God's word releases you from the very thing that he's trying to build in this life, to hold man, to deceive him by. You see? But of course, because it's not blessed by God and doesn't give God the glory, these emotions that are in man, deceived by the Antichrist, these emotions will more and more get out of control, because that is what emotions do. This is why God has to bring under control our emotions through the baptism and the work of the Holy Spirit. Because emotions not kept in check go out of control. That is what you parents had to work with your children as you were bringing them up. A lot of you, what you had to deal with was their emotions in them that tried to control and take the upper hand. And so you have to deal with these emotional outbursts with your children to try and help teach them that they have to bring those emotions under control. It's called self-control. There is no self-control now in society any longer. Everybody wants to do their own thing. Nobody's going to tell me what to do. I have human rights now on my side, and they know how to appeal to it. It's rebellion. But it's the realm of the sensual. It's keeping people in their sensual level, a degraded level, not a level that glorifies God. What does 1 Timothy 4, 1-5 speak of? Timothy has quite a bit to speak about all of this. In 1 Timothy chapter 4, verses 1-5, now the Spirit expressly says that in the latter times some will depart from the faith. Not some denomination, believe, the faith. That's what we preach. The faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, giving heed to deceiving spirits and doctrines of demons. Deceiving spirits and doctrines of demons will always appeal to emotions. Pride is an emotion. And man likes the buzz that pride gives. Speaking lies in hypocrisy, having their own consciences seared with hot iron. Emotions will always cause man to lie, to deviate. And so because they try to make it all religious and pharisaical, they then bring in these doctrines, demons, forbidding to marry, abstaining from foods, all of these things which God created to be received with thanksgiving to those who believe and know the truth. Well, of course, society, the world is ripe with all of that. They're trying to stop you from eating meat. Control on foods. Now, everything in moderation and balance glorifies God, because you have to eat by faith. You don't know what you're eating. Most of our food has been tampered with. Oh, well, I eat organic. Hogwash. Very little is organic today. And yet, people are making mega amounts of money out of it. And so it goes on. This is why we have to walk by faith, brothers and sisters, trusting God. Marriage is under attack. The sanctity of marriage, as we know marriage, stands today. Family life is under attack. You name it. Everything is trying to be changed by the Antichrist system. All based on unbelief, emotions. And he says, for every creature of God is good and nothing to be refused if it is received with thanksgiving and is sanctified by the word of God and by prayer. So we receive everything by prayer, by faith, thanksgiving is sanctified. So if somebody's put a plate of poison in front of you, you pray over it and give thanks to God, you can eat it. That is if you don't know. Now if you do know that that's been laced with poison, then God's given you a knowledge and understanding, and therefore he's given you a mind and common sense. You don't eat it, you throw it away. It's if we don't know, and half the time we don't know. And yet you will get some Christians who will tempt God. I know this is poison, but I'm going to show you. I walk by faith. I'm going to eat it. And 2 hours later, they're dead. See? But what was that enacted? That wasn't faith. That was pride. And pride feeds emotions. Look at me. No, no, no. We're learning, praise God. You see, the great apostasy is characterized by religious demons. Demons of pride, false revelation. You have a false priesthood that's robed up as it makes themselves feel holy. Those robes that they put on feeds the religious pride and makes them feel holy. To robe up to as a so-called priest ministers to pride. And it ministers to the emotions, the feelings. You know, how many times have you heard people say, I used to, when I was in industry, there was one or two there. I think there was a woman there that worked. I think her husband was a policeman or something like that. I forget, but what she used to say, she said, you know, my husband, he's quite normal when we're at home and everything. And the moment he puts his uniform on, he takes on a different role, a different character. I remember her saying that. And I thought, strange, isn't it? But you know, in time you learn that. And people do. They take on a different role. The moment they're robed up or wear a certain identity or uniform or whatever it is, it gives them power, elevation, recognition. What is that playing to, friends? Emotions. The devil knows how to play it. And there they are, they robe up, and they are a separated, sanctified priesthood. The Bible tells us under New Covenant, we're all a priesthood. We all serve. We all offer up spiritual worship, praise. And in our worship and praise, there's neither male nor female, bond nor free, Jew, Greek, you name it. We offer up in spirit, true unity and oneness. That is how God receives it. That is how he sees it. Today in our meeting, God doesn't see male or female. He doesn't see whether we're free or not free, in slavery, whatever. In our worship, he receives it all up in true unity and oneness. That is how he is to receive it. This identity thing plays on emotions. Now, of course, we all have our roles. Of course we do, because we're still in the flesh. But it's how we come over, brothers and sisters. And so the great apostasy is going to be characterized by these religious demons of pride. And when you've got pride, you've got false revelation and doctrines of demons and a false priesthood. You see, this great apostasy is also taken up by Paul to the Thessalonians, which we know again, but we'll read it again in passing because it's all characterized in what we're speaking about in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. From verse 1, 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 1 onwards, he says, "Now, brethren, concerning the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and our gathering together to him, we ask you not to be soon shaken in mind or troubled, either by spirit or by word or by letter or by emotions, feelings or whatever. As if from us, as though the day of Christ had come." What's Paul addressing there? Don't be moved by emotions, which will hinder your faith. "Let no one deceive you by any means, for that day will not come unless the falling away comes first and the man of sin is revealed, the son of perdition." We're in the process of the falling away. And this falling away now, in everything, worldwide, it's not just in the UK, it's worldwide, is going to result in producing something. The son of perdition, the Antichrist, who opposes, exalts himself above all that is called God or that is worshipped, so that he sits as God in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. And Paul goes on, "Remember, I told you these things would happen." We're rapidly moving toward this, brothers and sisters. This is why you see many of our trials that we go through, that God allows and permits us to go through, reveals how much we are affected by what we feel. So often, our trials that we go through are actually exposing what our emotions, feelings, are actually doing to our faith. And are we going to be affected to the point where we're going to allow them to hinder our faith, our belief in the promises of God? That's what we have to decide. We have to decide the fact that God is not going to minister to our emotions where faith is concerned. He's actually going to deal with those emotions that try to hinder our faith. That is why at times the enemy can become so vocal and say, "Oh, God doesn't love you. You know, if he loved you, you wouldn't be going through this. You wouldn't be feeling like this. This would not be happening in your life." How often has he said that to us, the enemy? Many times. Many. What is he doing? He's ministering to your feelings. He's trying to raise up your feelings. Because God doesn't work in the realm of feeling. He works in the realm of faith. That is what glorifies God. And that is why the Holy Spirit, in the deeper life that we teach, is bringing us back to a faith walk. The disciples forsook Jesus on that hour and moment when Jesus needed them. Even Jesus was tested with his emotions. What is wrong with being someone you love who's about to be betrayed, and to stay with them through thick and thin. There's nothing wrong with that. That's honour. But it didn't happen. They forsook him. And we know why they forsook him, because they fell asleep, they didn't pray it through. But even Jesus was tested with his feelings. The hour when he needed that support, in his flesh that is. And even that wasn't there, because God was teaching him to go to that cross by faith obedience, which he did. Whoa! Doesn't it put it in a different perspective? Jesus cried out on the cross in his flesh, even with those emotions, my God, why have you forsaken me? That was an emotion coming out. But even that had to die in order for him to be raised up. Because God was taking Jesus right into glory by faith. And that is what he does with us, brothers and sisters. And that side of it can seem very hard. But God says, my grace is sufficient. It is God's grace that is going to minister that life that you're really crying out for. That relationship that your heart longs for. His closeness. The unity. The oneness that you have with God. That is what really our hearts as Christians cry out for. But it's our emotions that get in the way that confuse it all. That is the problem. That is why today's society is so short-fused. That is why you see the eruptions, the emotional things that go on. And violence is getting worse and worse. And not only that, but you hear in the news, it's getting worse with younger people. It's youngsters now involved in violence, knifings. I'm told there's a knifing in London now. Every day. I was shocked when I heard that. A knifing in London now. That's just London. Every day. It's appalling. That's just one statistic of many things that are going on. Soldiers are trained to fight, to war. And they are trained to bring their emotions under control. And that's their drill. That's their training. Why? Why are soldiers trained? Because they're using lethal weapons. Weapons that can get out of control as quick as that. And occasionally, sadly, you hear of some soldier that flips. And look at the results that happen. Well, if that's the world and how the world is training soldiers, then how much more we who are in the army of God? We're being trained, are we not? Because our weapons are not carnal, but are mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. Little wonder we are being trained like we are. And in closing now, you can see why in discipleship, when Jesus calls us, where did he bring the sword down? Right in the household, the family. And what does that sword do? It divides. What is it dealing with? Emotions. Because emotions will always get us to compromise where family is concerned. And we do it because the emotions get in the way. If your daughter is sinning, she is sinning. Period. Yes, you still love her, but you do not love what she's getting up to and doing. And yet emotions will get in the way and try and compromise find ways of escapes, excuses, and so you no longer have the word of God as your basis. You're no longer in faith, therefore you can't believe for her soul to be saved and brought into the kingdom of God. We're not seeing our families and loved ones saved as we should be because we're compromising, because our emotions have got in the way. What saves our loved ones? Faith. Belief in God's word that he will save them. And finally, faith, feelings, emotions will always affect one's discernment. You will never be able to discern properly when you are affected by emotions and feelings. You are swayed. And that is why the world, because it's so trapped by its emotions and feelings, will be a target for the Antichrist to come. And that is why God has to deal with this. Because he's bringing the church back to discerning, to testing, testing the spirits. Because discernment is part of the strength of the true church. She stands by being able to discern. And her discernment is not based on emotions. It is based on faith, faithfulness in God's love and mercy and grace. That is where our true discernment comes, you see. Oh, but that's harsh, brother. You can't say that. That's not a loving God saying that. Little wonder people's lives are not changing and changing in churches. Our lives are to change. We're being changed from glory into glory, as the word of God says. But that can only be achieved and done on the basis of receiving God's word by faith. Many times I don't always, in my emotions and feelings, actually like what God says. But I have to settle and say, what has my emotions and feelings got to do with what God's word says? And you choose what you want in operation. Am I going to let emotions get in the way, or am I going to take it by faith? I don't know how God's going to deal with my emotions, because yes, I do feel angry. But God's greater than that. God's greater than my anger. God's greater than my pride. God's greater. Here you are. You're bringing it back to focus. You're bringing it back to a level where God can deal with us. And he does, and he will. Emotions can be so strong. They can draw us away. We can make our emotions believe a lie. That's what they do. People believe a lie. That's what we're told the Bible says. Emotions, strong emotions, are a lie. This is why we have not seen what we're longing to see. God, I believe, has gone right to the heart, right to the heart of this problem in this church. He's dealt with me and is dealing with me through this teaching. I've had real stick from the enemy. I know why. Because sometimes the teachings come which is in is deliverance. And the enemy knows it. He knows it, but I praise God. I praise God because prayer has birthed this teaching through. Other teachings that we've had has brought this through. It's staying with it, enduring and so forth. And in time, God will bring it at the right appointed time. It's the right message. It's the right hour. Jesus is passing by. I don't know about you, but I'm going to grab his robe and get healed, delivered. Because nobody else is going to do it for me. Hallelujah. Praise God. Father, we thank you today. Thank you. You know how to address every situation, everything we go through, everything we experience. Lord, you have come to deliver us, to set the captives free. For whom the Son sets free, you are free indeed. And that freedom is not an emotion or a feeling. It is a fact. It is what you have said. And whatever my circumstances, whatever I might be feeling, that has got nothing to do with what you have promised and what you have said. And it's on the basis of choosing to believe it. That is what the Word of God is about. Lord, help us to achieve this for your glory. Lord, you are removing these obstacles to our faith. And we praise and thank you for this, Lord. Thank you that this is the day you've made. We will rejoice and be glad in it.
Fulfillment in the arms of the sea.